You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today we are with David Drake. He is the founder and chairman of LDJ Capital in New York City and has been involved in technology, media, and telecom, reality, mineral and energy, clean tech, and impact investments for over 20 years. Mr. Drake is also the founder of the Soho Loft Capital Creation Event Series, which is a global events platform creating corporate strategy services through education and financial innovation programs covering the private company marketplace. He is a thought leader on the Jobs Act and a founding board member of Crowdfunding Intermediary Regulatory Advocates and the leading global trade association, Crowdfunding Professional Association. Mr. Drake, certainly a privilege to have you a part of Enterprise Radio.
It's a pleasure being here. I was just at Thomson Reuters Buyout Conference in Dallas last week, and just yesterday had a great meeting with the former chairman of SEC, Christopher Cox, where we had him keynote and sit on a moderating desk, a panel that I was moderating on what's happening to job creation and capital access in North America. Very exciting indeed.
It sounds like I should have been there. How can crowdfunding, to start off our interview here, how can crowdfunding spur job creation?
Well, the Jobs Act, and let's go a little back here about LDJ. LDJ is a holding company and a fund advisory. We had a VC division where we made investments in technology and companies all over the world. We invested in the Soho Loft, which was a capital creation event company. And lo and behold, it's turned into a media company on capital creation and financial innovation, such as that I got a chance to be part of the U.S. Commerce delegation to the European Union on policy and economic solutions that could be implemented in Europe that we've had in the U.S. just last July. So the Soho Loft started out doing a lot of events, and crowdfunding was something that was not being paid attention to 2011. We managed to convince the CEO to put a panel together for it, and it just exploded because in 2011, there were no monthly events that were allowing the crowdfunders of North America to get together. And as these events were being done on the East and West Coast, we ended up starting to meet hundreds and hundreds of the leading crowdfunding firms. Now, the crowdfunding bill that was part of the Jobs Act, and we're going to remember crowdfunding for equity is the issue here. Anytime you exchange stocks, you have to go through the Security Exchange Commission because they're the police of stocks. Crowdfunding as Kickstarter and Indiegogo and Rocket Hub today, those are rewards. You get something in exchange for a donation. That doesn't fall under the SEC regulation, doesn't fall under the Jobs Act. Jobs Act being Jumpstart Our Business Startups Act that Obama signed into law April 5th. So we ended up lobbying Democrats and Republicans with all the fervent and, you know, gung-ho crowdfunders who emerged in 2011 and prior to that. And lo and behold, 407-17 Democrats and Republicans voted for the bill to pass March 8th at the House of Representatives, which was then called Jobs Act, as we know it today. Now, crowdfunding was part of it, and how it creates jobs, this idea is 99% of all jobs are created by small businesses in this country. It's not the big corporations. The big corporations will buy others, fire people, and, you know, streamline processes to make it less expensive. It's small businesses. So the idea was the crowdfunding for equity, which would allow you to invest up to $1 million, which is not legal yet, but we're working with SEC, and they're very forthcoming, trying to make it a legal law that Obama signed into law, because they have to interpret the Jobs Act and create the rules for it, and that's what we're doing right now. That would allow small businesses like bakeries and bookshops and gas stations and, you know, the mom-and-pop shops between the West and the East Coast nationwide to be able to raise money easier and faster and not having to have such a hassle going to the bank and they're turning you down for whatever reason, the bank's not lending anymore. So we needed to create a solution to release the capital because the banks are sitting on the capital. We need to find another way to do it. The best way to do it is, you know, most startups get the money from friends and family. So what's the next step of friends and family? Well, it's to make it accessible for people easier. And the internet and technology that didn't exist in 1933, which the SEC, when SEC was created, allows us to reduce that cost, allows us to facilitate technology transactions to make that cost lower. And that's where we have crowdfunding for equity coming in to create capital access for small startups and create more jobs. That's the thought process behind that.
Now, how valuable is the crowd in crowdfunding?
Oh, that's a great question. Most people got so hyped up with crowdfunding earlier this year. And to give you an example of how big this is, crowdfunding across the board last year in 2011 did work around $1.5 billion. And the most common crowdfunding was obviously donations. You use a credit card, go on your computer, and you donate money with your credit card to a charity. That's still the biggest part. However, reward, the second pillar of crowdfunding, is where Kickstarters, Grow VC, Crowd Valley, Crowdfunder, Rocket Hub, those are companies where you get rewards when you give money. And these companies are the fastest growing because they just started taking off a few years back. Third one is something we've known for a very long time. It's just a new name for it. Microfinancing, peer-to-peer lending. That's what we call the debt portion of crowdfunding. And then the fourth one is the one that's not legal here yet. That's crowdfunding for equity. But we're working on it. Now, the SEC, implementing the law that Obama signed in, was supposed to have it done by January 1st, 2013. But, you know, normally in the past when they've had new laws implemented, there's been years of research. This time it was just slapped up on them to implement a law, and they need to protect investors. That's their job, to protect investors and consumers. So they're not going to make the deadline, and it's going to be delayed between 9 to 12 months. But it is happening, and they're very forthcoming. Now, back to your question on crowd. The business this year are going to probably double to $3 billion, but the crowd is the key word because a lot of people got caught up in crowdfunding, and they would go on the site, post, here's my project. You type it up, and then you go to your Facebook and LinkedIn page and tell your friends, hey, use your credit card and donate some money for me on this other site. That's really what crowdfunding is. It's a cheap, inexpensive way of reaching people efficiently without having to produce or hire film crew or other things. You can just type it up. But what they were missing was the keyword crowd that you're mentioning, Eric. You have to have a crowd who listens to you. Too many organizations went out there and put up, oh, my God, I'm going to do this and that. But nobody was listening to them. So they failed. They failed. And 40% of crowdfunding projects today, they don't get the money they want. You know, you have to outline whether you want to do a 25-day campaign or 45-day campaign. You as an entrepreneur doing a campaign is called an issuer. The legal terms that we're using with SEC, and we work with them on a daily basis for the last 8 months. As an issuer, you know, most issuers are raising between $5,000 to $15,000. I'd say about 80% of all crowdfunding campaigns for rewards are getting that amount of money. And this all started with entertainment. It started with a group called Marillion out of the UK. It was a band, which in 1997 didn't have enough money for a radio show. Well, the internet was hot. They went online, reached out to all their fans. Their fans used their credit cards and donated $60,000 for them to do their first tour. So this is one of the Wikipedia's first registered crowdfunding campaigns where you use the internet to get the crowd together. Now let's go back to your question. What about the crowd? As I said before, you need a crowd that listens to you. If you do campaign, you put it online and nobody listens, then nothing's going to happen. A lot of the most successful cases of crowdfunding, and we're talking about some significant money here, had a lot of marketing. You have to have a lot of marketing. So my challenge is to people listening is, look, crowdfunding is a tool. You can do it today for rewards where you give something away. To give away your stock is not allowed. That is not legal yet in the U.S., which is great. Why give away stock? Do it for a reward. And rewards don't have to be monetary. And a lot of people say, this is an emotional decision. I love this song, or I love this artist, or this is somebody in the family making a musical, or this is a, you know, ballet team that needs $2,000 to do a performance. It's an emotional decision. Friends and family helps. When it comes to entertainment, where it all started, it's one of the bigger areas. People get involved because it speaks to them. And sometimes giving $20 to $50 is not that much money that you feel like it's not going to work out or it's a big investment. It's an emotional decision. So back again to crowd. Find a crowd if you don't have one. I keep finding people with crowds and they don't know how to monetize it. I'll give you an example. The Oatmeal writes it's an online magazine. And the writer and owner of Oatmeal has 7 million readers. He found out that Tesla's lab was for sale, who invented electricity, and it was going to be converted to condominium. So he wrote a campaign on Indiegogo, another site that's very big, and said, hey, I want to buy the building and turn it into a museum. It should be a museum. It's the original lab of Tesla from the 1865 or 1875. He posted that on his crowd on the Oatmeal, and within 8-9 days, he got $1.4 million to buy the lab, and no stock. Just rewards. And I'll tell you some rewards. Three people gave $33,000 each. Why? Because he offered to market their companies on his Oatmeal magazine. Just an example of some of the bigger campaigns that reached millions. Pebble Watches is the largest one in the world. They walked into my conference in Palo Alto, I think it was May 14th, 2012. 25 days into the campaign, he walked in and said, we have these watches. We tried to raise $100,000. We couldn't get the money from angels. So we did Kickstarter campaign for the watches, and now 25 days later, we're stopping it. Now imagine, we're sitting there, 100 people of my guests in suits, and he's walking in flip-flops and shorts, 24-year-old guy. And the numbers he showed us was mind-boggling. He said, look, we didn't get $100,000. We got $10.9 million in 25 days. 69,000 people bought our watch. We don't even have the watch yet, and we have to go into production. And they stopped the campaign and started focusing on production. So the crowd could go viral if you do the right marketing properly. But otherwise, I say find somebody who has a crowd and mix your ecosystem up with their ecosystem. And I'll let people reach out to me. I'm at david@thesoholoft.com, and I'll give you advice for free. Now, I want people to be successful. I don't want people to go and use crowdfunding and it won't work. And also, crowdfunding is not a solution for everything. It's a tool. So you should still do fundraising with your friends and family face-to-face, even though you use this tool. It's not an ultimate solution, and we're seeing a lot of crowdfunding firms getting money, and then they're not delivering the product on time. And the reason is entrepreneurs don't have the experience to go through quality control, manufacturing, delivery, capacity. So, you know, in reflection in that, you know, a month ago, Kickstarter, the world's largest reward-based crowdfunding site, put out a news alert that, press alert, that they're not going to take prototypes anymore. Why? A good 25% of their campaigns over the last year, they got their money, hasn't delivered the product yet. And what happens then? Well, people forget. Companies fail 9 out of 10 times. But online, you fail once or you don't produce your product quick enough, people start screaming fraud. But it's not fraud. It's just, you know, mismanagement, poor execution, not enough experience. You know, if something goes wrong in manufacturing and the manufacturer in China doesn't deliver the right thing, the company will go under. The money's gone. So we must recognize that, yes, these are startups. And some of these products will not be delivered because people run out of money. So once again, you know, there are a lot of challenges we face. And, you know, it'd be good to get angels and broker-dealers to get involved in this to make sure that when entrepreneurs do get the money, that they know how to execute. So another part of the crowd is look in your vicinity and look at people that you trust and people that you know or you admire or that are business people or been around for many years in business and tell them, look, I'm doing a crowdfunding campaign. I want you to be my advisor. All I want you to do is listen to me how I think. and look at the campaign I'm planning to do, and also maybe help me with the manufacturing or production, whatever I want to do, to make sure it happens. Now, this is more advice towards people who are looking to produce a product that involves manufacturing. If you're going to do a concert, something entertainment, it's good to have an advisor as well, but you might not have that challenge of producing 10,000 or more of products. One group had just done a campaign to do some electronic gadget in South America. They got 10,000 orders, and they cut off the campaign after 4 or 5 days. Why? They knew the factory in China couldn't handle more than 20,000 or 30,000 products in 6 months. And they were getting close to $1 million to do close to 100,000 products. So they cut the campaign off because they knew that even if there was full manufacturing for a year, they wouldn't be able to deliver, and people would start screaming fraud and get upset.
Today we're joined by David Drake, the founder and chairman of LDJ Capital in New York City, also the founder of the Soho Loft Capital Creation Event Series, which is a global events platform creating corporate strategy services through education and financial innovation programs covering the private company marketplace here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. David, how does marketing and other business tools interact with crowdfunding in shaping new avenues for capital creation, distribution, and access?
They're extremely important. You cannot get a crowd to come and find your product and buy it on crowdfunding online unless you do the marketing, and you do it ahead of time. You need to find the crowd that you can market to and drive them to the site. No crowdfunding campaign will be successful if you just put it up and then hope for the best. It's crucial to understand the key word in crowdfunding is the crowd that listens to you. And if you don't have it, find somebody who has a crowd and get your ecosystem combined with theirs.
Now, how does crowdfunding work with traditional or mainstream financing models now and in the future, and in terms of the different stages of a business growth in different entrepreneurial ecosystems?
Well, we've had a lot of conversations at SEC and at the organizations dealing with SEC that we founded CIFRA. What we're seeing is from the angel VC network as well as the broker dealers out there is that the VCs are getting a little nervous because this is changing how people are getting money. Because they've had campaigns getting $8 to $10 million, not many, but a few. And that is the VC level of investments, and that makes them nervous because they are picked to make decisions of investments by their investors, and now seeing that the crowd can make these decisions themselves means that they are superfluous and not needed anymore. Will that change dramatically? I don't think so, not in the near future, but it could. As far as angels, I encourage angels and broker dealers to be involved in crowdfunding because most people doing crowdfunding don't understand how to run a business, haven't maybe run a business in the past, and need the advice from people who understand how to run a business and have investor and consumer communication with the investors. There are many aspects of running a business that most entrepreneurs get overwhelmed with. So we've seen angels and broker dealers looking at, oh, wow, we can use crowdfunding as a way to raise more money, but also use it to prove that something works.
That's really good stuff. Now, tell our listeners where they can get some more information about LDJ Capital and also Soho Loft Capital Creation Event Series.
Well, the easiest way would be to directly email me at david@ldjcapital.com. That's L as in Leonard, D as in David, J as in Johnson, capital.com. Or better yet, go to our website, an investment we made into thesoholoft.com. Don't forget the, T-H-E, soholoft.com, and sign up for our newsletter. I'll be easily accessible and try to help you with any advice I can. Thanks, Eric, for a great time.
You betcha, David. Wish you the best. Now, this has been David Drake, the founder and chairman of LDJ Capital in New York City, also the founder of the Soho Loft Capital Creation Event Series, which is a global events platform creating corporate strategy services through education and financial innovation programs, covering the private company marketplace. And the website of reference, once again, is the Soho Loft. Dave, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.